So welcome Greg and Gloria, would you?
Good morning, church. Good morning, church.
Good morning, all. Pastor Matt married us, too, by the way. We had a recommitment ceremony almost 25 years ago, and he performed that. So,
did indeed.
Yeah.
It's a theme. It's a theme. On this mic, can everybody hear me okay this morning? Are we good? Yeah, yeah. Nodding. Okay. Take it, handsome.
So I think we are supposed to give a little details about ourselves. So shoe size, I'll start there. No, we have been married for 46 years. The day of the picnic, by the way. Yeah, so that has been an incredible blessing to be married to my best friend.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. And we have three amazing kids, two by birth, one by marriage, right over here. And then we have three amazing grandkids. We moved on to the island in 92 and had been off island for about 10 years, but still commuting back and forth. Because this is home. This is our family. So we're back on island now and have been for a year or so. You could talk about your shoe size if you wanted.
Not. Girls don't talk about those kinds of things. And so this morning, we're going to do things a little bit differently. We love a good small group. We love to get together around a dining room table. We love to get together in our living room. Hence, we have tables today. And so there's also treats on your table, so we're going to do this very casual conversation style, so dig in whenever you're ready and eat, and let's get to it. And so we teach very differently, we study very differently. This guy I call the meat and potatoes, and I'm the gravy. For those of us that love sugar, myself, chocolate, he's the cake, and I'm the frosting. And so somebody was telling me the other day, but what about the vegetables? And I said, well, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit. He can be the vegetables. And so with that, this guy is going to give you a lot of meat and potatoes, and I'll pour a little gravy over the top. And then he'll give you some cake, and I'll give you the frosting. So with that, dig in. Take it away, handsome.
Before we get started, let's pray. Can we do that?
Good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lord, thank you for just the opportunity to come here and worship, to glorify your name, to lift you high. What a special worship time. And Lord, thank you that we are here together to hear your word. And so, Lord, we're all looking to grow. We're looking to know you more. And so help us do that as we dig into your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we're going to look at the book of Jonah briefly, but we're going to spend time elsewhere. And so we're going to start out with Proverbs 4:23, which says, "Above all else, guard your heart. It is the wellspring of life." So above all else and wellspring of life sound like really important things to me. So we're going to dig into where was Jonah's heart in his journey. And then we're going to talk a little bit about our hearts. So why do we need to guard our hearts? I don't know about you, but the world gets on me and gets in me sometimes. We've probably all experienced that. Let me just share a real brief story. This was long before we came to the Lord, 29 years ago.
We were babies, by the way, 19, 21, just information. Go ahead.
Before I was a believer, I had a pretty foul mouth. And my best friend did not. But it wasn't long before I started to hear some things out of this beautiful lady's mouth that,
oops,
that weren't there before. And so that taught me right there that when we're in and of the world, it can get on you and get in you. And so that's just a simple example, and I'm sure that you can think of simple examples in your life of the world getting on you and getting in you. So why do we need to guard our heart? Because of that reason. So we're going to spend a lot of time talking about guarding our hearts today. But before we dive into that deeper, I want to ask you if you've ever heard of the itises of life. So you've heard of them, you just don't know it yet. Sinusitis,
gingivitis,
myocarditis. We're going to learn about a new itis today. But yet it's one of the oldest itises around. In fact, when I looked into the word itis, I counted them up, and there's like 109 itises. So the word we're going to learn today to explain this guarding of the heart is the word Ninevitis.
Catchy, isn't it? Isn't that great?
So we're going to explore, what does that Ninevitis thing look like? So it is, we describe it as not a heart of disease, but a spiritual heart of disease. Inflammation, infection. And so we're going to explore what that process looks like of moving closer to the Lord and moving away from the Lord, but with this idea that the world gets on us and gets in us. So we're going to show a graph here, or a chart. So this is our heart health cycle. So we have life going along, and sometimes we're close to God, aren't we? We're close to God's heart. And other times, we're following the ways of the world. And so we're going to talk about Ninevitis, which is the next slide, and how it wants to pull us towards the ways of the world. So Ninevitis, by definition, is a particular way of dealing with or considering things. So when we're doing life, we process through our heart, don't we? And our mind. And sometimes we see the world very optimistically and positively, and other times we see it through a hardened heart. And so the posture of our heart, the attitude of our heart, is the definition of Ninevitis, if it's on the negative side. So I don't know about you, but I go through that cycle of getting close to God and being far away from God at times, maybe not so far, but somewhat distant. And that can happen for many ways, many reasons. So we're going to talk about that as a group here in a little bit. Let's take a look, though, before we do that, at Jonah's cycle. So we know that Jonah, we've all heard it many times, but we're going to overlay that with the cycle of being close to God and being toward the ways of the world. And so Jonah's told to go, isn't he? He's somewhere on that cycle, and then he says, nope, I'm running, I'm going the other way. So he's running away from God's heart, isn't he? He's fallen asleep in the boat. I wonder if he's even like suffering some depression, because he knows he's running from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he knows that. He's a prophet. He knows God. But then he gets thrown overboard. Big fish comes. He's like, oh, I'm going to be praying now. So his heart's moving more towards God. I'm in a big fish, and I don't know what to do. So you could see his heart's kind of moving through that heart health cycle. And then all of a sudden, he goes to Nineveh, he preaches, he's in God's heart, although I think it might have been religious obedience rather than relational obedience. But then God says, you know what? I'm not going to destroy these folks. I'm going to have compassion on them. But that takes Jonah's heart a complete opposite direction. He's moving toward the world. He's living out of a Ninevitis heart that's angry. That's angry. And God challenges him along the way, but he continues to go down that path and get more angry and more angry all the time. And so you get the idea of Ninevitis. You get the idea of our heart and our spiritual heart. How do you think, some of us have talked about it, some of the other folks who have shared, but how do you think Jonah, how do you think he got Ninevitis? How did he get a hardened heart? He might have had a legit reason for a hardened heart, right? So let's talk about that for a minute. He had a heart that lived with the Assyrians, who were deporting his people. They were brutal to them, oppressive. That's a pretty good reason to have a hardened heart. But he had such a hardened heart, he disobeyed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I think sometimes we can do that. My heart graph would look a lot like that at times. And maybe yours would too, I don't know. So, we're going to take a minute and we're just going to talk around the tables to discuss what are the things in your life, examples you might come up with that are examples of how you might, why you might harden your heart towards something. So take a minute, circle around the table.
Have a snack.
Have a snack, yeah. And talk about what are things that cause you to harden your heart in life, to get Ninevitis. Let's take a minute. Okay, 10 more seconds.
Okay, family, that's so awesome to hear everybody talking around the table. So now it's time for sharing. So share with me, share with us some of the things that you guys talked around your table on what might cause Ninevitis. Be bold. Somebody start. No takers? Circumstances. Say that again. Lack of answered prayer. Absolutely. Good morning. Good morning. Lack of answered prayer. Any others? Losses. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Busyness. Yes, that's a good one. Absolutely. False accusations. Yes. I think about, and some of them were, I might repeat myself, hanging on to wrong by others, like we talked about, distractedness, busyness, hurt, control. Anybody in here struggle with control? This girl does from time to time. Expectations of fairness, bitterness, fear, selfishness, clinging to the past, not feeling seen, feeling neglected can cause Ninevitis, abuse of all kinds.
So Ninevitis came into the world way back at the beginning of Genesis. In fact, you don't have to look very far. Chapter 4 talks about Cain and Abel. And most of us are familiar with that story. There was a real hardened heart there, and it didn't go well for one of the brothers. So it's been around for a long time. That's why I call it one of the oldest itises. So today you've been introduced to this word Ninevitis. We've been using it for weeks, and so it's part of our vocabulary now. I mean, it's a common language to us. But Ninevitis can be hard to self-diagnose. Some of us are very good at being able to see it, recognize it, and have the tools and know-how to guard against it, while others have severe Ninevitis and have no clue they have it. Have you known some of those folks? I've probably been one of those folks at times where I had Ninevitis and I didn't know that I had it. Some, like Jonah, know they have it and acknowledge that they have it, but are so overcome by it that they won't take the necessary steps to deal with it. Proverbs 28:14 says this, Blessed is the one who always trembles before the Lord, but whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. So let's kind of make a transition and talk about how do we get rid of Ninevitis? I think Ninevitis is one of those things that is always going to be present to some degree. So that's why the very first scripture we read says, how do we guard against it? Guard feels like an action word to me, a doing word. There's some work involved here kind of word. And we're not talking works, as in I can earn my way to heaven or to salvation. We don't do that. We can't do that. But we can work to guard our hearts, right? And so we want to talk about some of those things. We want to actually share with you six ways of guarding your heart against Ninevitis.
And so I think about the graph that Greg put up there that has the moving closer to the Lord and being more with the world. And so some of the things that we've come up with are just ways that we have used for ourselves to help us stay more towards the graph, not being quite so like this, but being more towards up here with the Lord. And the first one is surrender. And to submit, to yield, to abandon, to renounce, to give up, to cease resistance. That's a tough one, cease resistance. The surrender part starts with us saying yes to the Lord and coming into that relationship with him, and that's the best place to start. And then after that comes the word that really stood out to me, and that's submit. And I remember when I first came to the Lord and learning that submission part, I'm like, was very strong, can do it kind of girl. So I'm like, submit? What? But the more I leaned into that work, the more my heart kind of mellowed towards that, the more the Lord started to cause my heart to want to submit to all the things that he wants to do in my heart. James 4:7 says, submit yourself to the Lord. Submit yourself to God. A friend of mine recently said this phrase that really stuck with me. When we surrender to the Lord, true life begins. And I can look at my life historically when I surrendered to him and said yes to him. I look back and see all that he's been doing in my life and in the life of our family. And I so appreciate that. And so I know that for some, submission and surrender is hard, because that does mean giving up control. But when we lean into that, man, the things that he can do in and through that are amazing.
The second thing that we wanted to share regarding battling or guarding against Ninevitis is the idea of focus. Focusing on him. One of my weaknesses is I can get really busy, and I can not be reading the word, I can not be focused on him, I can be kind of going about life in my own strength. But I find that when I focus on him, there's not much that impacts me, because he is the center of my life. He's the center of my focus. And the things of the world tend to really shrink away and get kind of small. So this idea of focus is to seek, to pursue, to chase, give attention to, concentrate on, center on, fix on. And I love these, to abide and remain, to dwell on. I think this is such an important concept to understand, to remain and rest in him. And I'm not talking about understanding the words. I'm talking about a deep abiding focus here. A deep abiding focus. So scripture says, John 15:4 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. I don't know about you, but I can be on business trips and doing different things and get pretty busy. And then when I get in and I focus on him, everything changes in an instant. So focus for us is incredibly important. And so John 1, or 1 John, I should say, 2:24, so you must remain faithful so that you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father.
And part of that for me is the place that I can really focus is in prayer and worship. I love worship, absolutely. I'm so blessed that God gave us musical kids. I love that our daughter does worship, but that really centers me. So prayer and worship, petition for help or expression of thanks, feeling or expression of reverence and adoration. When I was looking up worship and looking up for scriptures and the word, I was in the back in the concordance, and it just struck me that before worship is worry. This girl has a tendency to live more in the worry category than the worship category sometimes. And so as I was reflecting on that, I said, okay, Lord, you're speaking to me. So help me as I'm on the graph with Ninevitis to stay out of the worry camp and more in the worship camp. And so I was thinking about Jonah and thinking about the journey that he was on. And there was somebody else that came to mind for me in the word, and that's Elijah. And so in the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19, it's when he's gone through all of his stuff with Ahab and Jezebel and the prophets of Baal, and he's seen God move miraculously in those circumstances. But then I think about, you read further, and his life sort of parallels Jonah. They're both prophets. They're both called to go. Both are reluctant, but also obedient. Both sat under a tree. Think about that. Two stories. They're both sitting under a tree. Both called out to God to take their life. Elijah took it even further. Do you know what he said to God? And you can say, if you've ever felt this way, because I have. He says to God this line in 1 Kings 19. He says to God, I have had enough. Has anybody out here ever said, God, I have been praying, I have been worshiping, I have been seeking you, I have been doing all those things, and this is not changing. And my words may be a little different, but the heart is still the same. I'll say to God, I have had just about enough. And he's so sweet because he'll meet me in that. When I reposition my heart towards a place of prayer and worship, things begin to change. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, do not be anxious. Get that? Do not be anxious. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And on the worship side, Ephesians 5:19 says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody to the Lord with your heart. Amen. Prayer and worship. Amen.
One of the other ways we can guard our hearts is through this idea of thankfulness or being grateful. So appreciative or indebted to him. So we want to develop an intentional habit of being grateful, not only in the moment, but literally as a way of life. I work in a business where a couple of years ago there was someone who came in and he was leading some meetings, and he said, you know what, we're going to start this meeting by all sharing what we're grateful for. And that rocked the whole team that was in that meeting. And being grateful every day, finding ways to be grateful, focusing on being grateful can rock your life too. I know it rocks mine when I remember to be grateful. And so we want to try and develop a way of life that is a way of being grateful to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So first, or Colossians says in 2:7 says, let your roots grow deep, or grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So the very first scripture we talked about was a wellspring of life. Here we're talking about overflowing in thankfulness. And so thankfulness is one of those six ways of guarding your heart.
And the next one's forgiveness. Forgiveness is a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance towards a person or a group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness or not. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against you, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive." And if you'll indulge me for a quick second, we might run a couple of minutes over, but not much. I want to share with you a time in my life where God really worked this out in me. And it started with the surrender part and the submission part at the beginning. That part I thought was the hard part of the story. Not so much the forgiveness part. Greg and I had been walking with the Lord a couple of years. We were in a Bible study, and it was great, and we were pressing into God. And you know those prayers where you say, "God, if there's any way in me, if there's anything in me that's a hindrance between you and I, show me what that is. I don't want to have that." Pray that prayer, go to bed, say, "Cool, okay," sleeping. Wake up in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., and he met me in that. I had memories come back from when I was young of some things that I had walked through that were really hard, really hard. And in that processing, as those memories came back, I walked through some of the things that we're talking about with Ninevitis. I was angry. I was hurt. I was so sad at the loss of innocence in those memories. And I could not reconcile that with God for the life of me. And my honey was very gracious, and some friends in our life helped me walk through that and got to the other side of that part. And I thought, okay, whew, done. Done with that. Thank you, God, for meeting me in that prayer and helping me with that part. And then the next step came, and that was the forgiveness part. And in that, I felt him ask me the question, "Can you forgive them for what they did?" My flesh, the world side of the chart? No, I am justified in being unforgiving. That was horrible, the things that they did. And the Lord let me sit in that for a few minutes. And then he showed me his heart for them. And in that, my heart broke. And what I heard him say to my heart is, broken people can make poor choices that affect other people. But then what am I going to do with it? And so in that, I chose to forgive. It was a process, but man of mercy, he met me in that and the freedom that came with that. Mm-hmm. So forgiveness, that's another one that's mm-hmm. huge.
And you know we couldn't talk about the things that will help us guard our heart without talking about what Pastor Matt challenges us with all the time, which is read the Word. So we need to be reading the Word. There are times where I get busy. I talked about this a little bit earlier, but I want to talk about in the context of the Word, and that is we can be going about life. I can be going about life and just feel this tug. It's like, "Greg, you have not been in the Word. What's happening here?" And as soon as I jump into the Word, I just feel this renewal and this refreshing that happens. Many of you have probably experienced that. There's just a purity and an outlook in life when you're immersed in his Word, when you're reading the power, life-giving Word that he has shared with us. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our inmost thoughts and desires." The word can be refreshing. It can help you. It helps me. It helps us, all of us in this family, with being able to guard our hearts. So we've got one last slide here that we want to show that talks about, it's really hard to see it, but there's a circle there. And so it shares, it's the shield that guards our heart with all six of those things on it. So surrender, focus, prayer and worship, thankfulness, forgiveness, and his word.
There's a quote by Charles Stanley that so encompasses everything we've been talking about. It says, you have a choice about how you respond to trials, both the ones in your past and those you face today. You can see them either as a burden or as a bridge, as weights that weaken and discourage you, or as conduits the Lord uses to develop your character, strengthen your faith, and deepen your relationship with him. And it's a choice. It's a choice on our part to lean into those.
Years ago, I heard this scripture that I thought was appropriate for today. And it's literally become one of my favorite scriptures, and I want to read it to you. I think it might be an encouragement to you. And it's from Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36:25-27. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and will move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Let that wash over you. It's beautiful. The book of Jonah closes with what I think is a very interesting sentence slash question. God asked Jonah a question. And he says, and I hear it in this tone. He says, should I not be concerned about that great city? I think what he's doing in that is I think he's challenging Jonah. I think he's saying, Jonah, check your heart. Guard your heart. Where is your heart? We don't know where Jonah goes with it on our graph up there. But I think that's an interesting question, one that we can ask ourselves in almost every circumstance we find ourselves is, where's my heart right now? Do I have Ninevitis? Am I leaning towards Ninevitis? Or am I on the upper end of that graph where I'm close to God's heart? Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word that is so amazing, so life-giving. Lord, I think about a verse in Ephesians. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Lord, thank you for your amazing love for each one of us. Thank you for your pursuit of each one of us. You desire a beautiful, incredible, transforming relationship with each one of us. And we're so grateful for that. So grateful. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you and that you hear our prayers, that you're faithful to do the work that's needed to guard our hearts. Help us to do our part in guarding our hearts, Lord God. Pray for this family, Lord God, that you would do the work, you would accomplish all that you want to in and through this family here at Southwood Beach. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.